All right. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Thank you for that, Mike. We'll just keep Pastor in prayer. Obviously, he needs it. He wanted to be here, but it's good to get some rest, I think, sometimes, right? So this morning, I'm just going to share with you guys something that I was studying out a while ago that I found really interesting. How do you pick what you study on, right? Like, that's kind of do you pick a word or a phrase or a person or a place? Or, how do you pick what you're studying, right? Do you just do the open the Bible and kind of throw the dart thing and pick that? I don't know. But I know it helps if you're reading your Bible, right? If you're reading your Bible, stuff just pops out sometimes,
amen.
Right? And you see things and you go, oh man, I don't think that is just face value,
right?
Right? So just study your Bible, right?
Yeah.
When I was reading this little phrase just might as well have been printed in bold and italics, right? Highlighted. So I started studying it out. So I'm just going to share with you guys a little bit of that this morning, and I hope it's a blessing. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20, and we're going to start in verse 29. And this is a story that I'm sure we've all read multiple times. And that's a good thing about reading your Bible. Just because you read it once, you didn't get everything out of there,
yeah.
Right? So you just keep reading it, and God will show you something new. So prayerfully, you'll get something new out of this today. Verse 29 says, "As they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David.' And the multitude rebuked them, because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David.' And Jesus stood still and called them and said, 'What will ye that I shall do unto you?' And they said unto him, 'Lord, that our eyes may be opened.' So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. God, thank you for this morning that you've given me an opportunity to come before your people. God, I just pray that you can keep me out of the way here, and Lord, just let your word be magnified. God, just let your spirit fill this room. Lord, touch hearts. And God, please continue to be with our pastor while he's at home. Lord, let nothing happen here that would be dishonoring or pleasing just to men. But God, that everything that happens here today is wholly pleasing in your sight. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So I just want to focus on three little words this morning. Three little words that show up in verse number 30, and it says, by the way, this way is a place that these men went when they needed Jesus, right? They went by the way. This is a place they ended up when they were out of options. This is a place that they went when they were down and desperate. They were in need, by the way. This is a place where they went to beg and plead for something to change in their life, right? By the way. This is also the place where Jesus spoke to them and healed them. By the way. I don't think this way is just face value a physical place. It can be, for sure. But I think it's also a spiritual condition by the wayside. The wayside to most people is a secondary place, right? People are traveling from point A to point B. They pass by the way. They go by the way. But to other people, this is where they dwell. Their lives are lived here, by the way. And they never get to their destination. In today's conversations, by the way is usually a secondary or a lesser topic than the main point. That make sense? Let's say that me and the wife are talking, right? We got a busy day and we need to go shopping. We need to go get the oil changed. We need to get groceries. Oh, and by the way, we need to go get gas, right? Like just a secondary lesser topic, by the way. But I think I'd like to say this morning that by the way is a very important place. I think this by the way is a place that most of us have been. But I think a lot of us choose to forget it.
Yeah.
I think a lot of us choose to forget when we were by the way, right? The Bible says a lot about this place. First, the Bible says this is a place that we're supposed to teach our children. We're supposed to teach our children, by the way. I remember when we went fishing one time. Kids were real little. And we go out to our favorite fishing spot over here on the Columbia. And there's a guy that lives down there. And he's got his tarp set up and he's a homeless guy. And he's just living down there. And I was trying to explain to the kids what that meant, right? Like, this guy doesn't have a place that he can go take a shower. This guy doesn't have a refrigerator. This guy doesn't have a car that he can get in and go to the grocery store, right? He was just living down by the way. And I remember the kids, like, instinctively were like, well, let's go get him some food, right? That makes sense. You know what I mean? But it was an opportunity to teach down by the way, right? To teach how good God is to us. To teach how blessed we are, right? Let's turn our Bibles. Keep your place there in Matthew. Let's turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 6. You guys probably know where I'm going with this one, but this is actually one of the first verses I ever memorized way back before I was even saved. My nephew Joshua was doing Awanas over at the high school way back in the day, and he got extra points if he brought somebody that memorized a verse, right? So this was my verse. Deuteronomy chapter 6, in verse number 7, the Bible says, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." What are we supposed to teach them? What's it saying here? I remember when I first memorized this verse, I thought, oh, we're just supposed to teach them the Word of God, right? That's what we're supposed to teach. That's not what it says. If you back up a couple of verses, it'll tell you what it says. The Bible's good about doing that, right? Yeah. If you think you know something, you should probably read before and after, and you'll find out you're wrong. But then you'll get it right. So praise the Lord. So let's back up to number four. I think we'll do us good here. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might." That's what we're supposed to be teaching. Right? You can memorize all the words in this book, and you can quote all the doctrine just right. You can cross-reference. You can do all those things. But if you don't love the Lord, that's not going to do nothing for you, right? That's what we're supposed to be teaching, by the way. We're supposed to be teaching to love the Lord. And it's when we're walking through the places that are hard, right?
Yeah.
That verse covers all kinds of places. It says, when you're sitting in your house, right? Those are your good times, sitting around in your house. But when you're walking by the way, that's kind of a hard time. And that's when we're supposed to be teaching our kids how to love God, right? When we're desperate, when we're out of options, when we're begging for help, we need to teach them to love God, right? But not just our kids. We have to be able to teach truth, by the way, all the time, to anybody who needs to hear it. God doesn't limit his truth to Sunday morning, right? This isn't the only place that you should be hearing truth or passing it on to somebody else. It's for Monday's burdens, Tuesday's trials, Wednesday's fails, right? You get the picture. We can keep going, but it's every day. Every day. We're supposed to be teaching his truth. You know, this by the way, it's a battleground. It's a war field, by the way. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, and we're going to be in verse 4. You guys know this very well, I'm sure. The parable of the sower and the seed. Oh, who made this coffee this morning, by the way? It's pretty good. You know, you guys, thank Sharon for making coffee. This is a side note. That's a job down there, and it took a long time. You know what I mean? And she does it every morning, and we all drink it. I hope we're thanking Miss Sharon. So, just saying that, by the way. Okay. Let's get back to what we were talking about here. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, verse number 4. Is that where I'm at? Yeah, that's where I'm at. Okay. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Skip down to verse number 10. And he said, unto you is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. This wayside's a battleground.
Yeah.
This by the way is where seeds are trying to get planted, but the devil's working, right? And he's trying to take those seeds. And he's trying to stop any work from getting done here. Because the work that gets done there is valuable, and it means something. When people are at their lowest point, it's easy for the devil to come in and discourage and lie and keep them down, right? Not worthy, not deserving. God wouldn't save somebody like you, right? The devil's fighting there, by the way. He's fighting. You know, I'll try to get through this story. It's kind of a hard one. But I'll give it a shot, because I think it's important. We were coming to church one morning, a while back, and we live on this dead-end street, right? Right across from the dead-end street is this field behind this crummy little hotel, right? And we had a group of homeless drug addict guys that lived there. They lived in a car over there, and we could see them out our living room window every day. They'd be out there, and they'd be openly doing their drugs and doing their things. And I mean, what else are we to expect of people that are of the world, right? So we were headed to church one morning, so we stopped. And we talked to these guys for a minute. And the one guy said, "Hey, can you pray with us?" So instead of just cruising by the way, we stopped and we prayed. And then we kept on to our destination, right? We came to church. We had a great day at church. Don't really remember it. It kind of blended together with the rest, right? Because that's what happens. I think we kind of take for granted what we have here. Anyway, so we get done with church. We come back. And we turn on the street, goes down to our house. And there's a paramedic, an ambulance. And the guy that we prayed with that morning had passed away. Probably a drug overdose. He was probably mid-30s. Just kind of left by the way. You know, we have opportunities. We have opportunities to stop, right? Sometimes the destination isn't what's important, right? So what happens by the way? Happens by the way. All right. Well, thanks for bearing with me through that one. It still hits home, you know? But the good thing is that by the way is where God draws near. God draws near, by the way. Turn over to Luke 24. You know, it's possible, I tell myself that it's possible that guy received the Lord that day. It's possible.
Yeah.
But it's something to pray that we'll see him someday, right? We'll never know. You won't know what fruit came from the seeds you planted, right? We just got to keep planting. All right, Luke 24. God draws near, by the way. Verse number 13. So this is where these two guys were talking. after Christ's crucifixion, and they're walking by the way. And they're walking by the way, and they're discouraged, and they're distressed, and they're probably confused and upset, right? And they're just walking by the way. Luke 24:13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 70 furlongs. And they talked together all of these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. You know, God didn't meet up with these guys at their destination. He didn't meet up with them in the sanctuary. I'm not saying that doesn't happen. I know that happens. Right. I've been in services plenty of times that God showed up. I've been down in the maintenance closet downstairs with a couple brothers where God showed up. Amen, Mike? Yes, sir. God will meet you wherever. Yes, sir. Amen. But I'll tell you this, Jesus draws near, by the way. There's been a lot of good times where I've seen Jesus come near, right? Had a men's prayer breakfast downstairs one time where I was, man, I had aught with another brother down there, and we got to praying and talking with each other, and man, the Lord just smote my heart, and by the end of that thing, man, we were crying and hugging, and God just showed up, you know what I mean? He'll do that anywhere. When we were praying downstairs in that closet, just me, Mike, and another brother about an issue that was going to be a big deal. And you know what? God just came in there and he took care of that thing. Yeah. Down in the maintenance closet. Right? God shows up. But this isn't where Jesus met these two. He met these two on a dusty road of disappointment. Right? And he showed up. They're full of confusion and sorrow. And what did he do? What happens when Christ shows up? Let's jump down a few verses. Luke 24:32. Said, and they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way? And while he opened to us the scriptures. Jesus meets you by the way. And he'll open those scriptures. All those verses that you've hid in your heart, it's a time for them to come out when you're by the way. Open the scriptures. Let's turn back. We'll turn to a parallel passage here. In Luke 18. Luke 18. And we'll go verse number 35. This is the parallel passage to our story over there in Matthew. And it came to pass that he was come nigh unto Jericho. A certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude passed by, he asked what it meant. Here's the blind man begging by the wayside. And he hears this commotion. And he hears this excitement. And he wants to know what's happening. He knows something's going on, but his eyes are still shut. But he knows that there's something going on. Verse 39. And they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. This is where the devil comes in. Tries to steal that away, right? They rebuked him for crying out to the Lord. God forbid, right? God forbid any of us. Do you remember the first time you cried out to God? Do you remember that day? Do you remember begging for mercy? Can you imagine this guy went from begging for money to begging for mercy? And then he gets rebuked. Rebuked by that crusty old Christian that says, ah, be quiet, don't bother Jesus. Right? It's where the devil comes in and tries to snatch it away. Where the devil comes in and says, you're not good enough. Christ can't save you. You've done too much. Don't bother him. Don't bother the Lord. Right? That one held me back for a long time, to be honest. That's a good one. It hits home. I remember a long time being lost, thinking, come to church a couple times, all these Christians that do good all the time, right? Like, I'm not good enough to be part of this group. You guys don't know what I've done. God can't save me. Praise the Lord. God can overthrow those lies. His truth can shine brighter than that. And then I get here and find out you guys screw up just as much as me. So, praise the Lord for that. Right? The devil was trying to keep him down. Rebuked him. That he should hold his peace. But you know what? Didn't work with this man. It says, but he cried so much the more. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. I don't know where everybody's at. But I know that I've stopped by the way quite a few times in this Christian walk, right? And I know I've been stuck there a few times, by the way. And I know it's my actions that put me there, by the way. But if you're there, just cry out so much the more. God will answer you. He draws near, by the way. He draws near. Verse 39. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace, but he cried so much the more. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. He didn't let the ravens come and devour that seed. That seed didn't get trampled by the way. Verse number 40. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, if you call out to the Lord, he's going to draw nigh. I remember the day, right? I remember the day sitting back there on the back row. Rewind a couple hours. Woke up in my apartment full of sin and depravity and called my sister. Asked for a ride to church. Came to church. Pastor Shanks got up here. And he got up here and he said, you know, I don't really have a sermon prepared. I couldn't imagine that. That's terrifying, right? By the way, that's terrifying. I mean, I studied this for a while, and I'm still nervous, right? But he came up here and he said, I'm just going to tell you how much God loves you. And he just sat up here for an hour. Maybe not an hour. Shanks never really went an hour. Probably like 40 minutes. Sat up here for about 40 minutes, just throwing seeds out there, just talking about how much God loves you, and how there's nothing that's too much for God, right? I remember sitting in the back and just crying out. Not loud, you know, not going to disrupt the service for everybody else. You don't have to cry loud with your voice. You can cry from your heart. You can cry out from your heart. And I'll tell you, when you're by the way, God draws near. God draws near. Verse 41. Saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? The Lord asked him, what is it that you want? What is it that's going to fix this? What's the solution to your problem? Why are you stuck here? Right? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. He just wanted to see. He was blind. His eyes were closed. All he wanted was to see. He didn't ask the Lord for a bunch of money. He didn't ask for a ride to the nearest town. He didn't ask for none of that. He just wanted to see. He wanted his eyes open. He wanted to see what everybody else was making such a commotion about. He wanted his eyes open. Man. And Jesus said unto him, verse 42, receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee. Thy faith hath saved thee. I find it interesting. In verse 43, it says, and immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. And followed him. He didn't receive his sight and stay by the way. He didn't draw near to God and get his blessing and then stay in the same spot that he was. He moved forward. Amen. Followed the Lord. Yeah. He got a new destination. He didn't have to live there anymore, by the way. Begging and pleading for help. His eyes were open. And he left the way. I'll tell you guys this morning, I don't know, if you're stuck by the way, just cry out to the Lord. He will answer you. He will answer you. And be careful what you ask while you're by the way. He asked for his sight. You know, a lot of the answers to our problem isn't having our problem solved. Does that make sense? Sure, God can solve all your problems, but are you going to grow from that? Are you going to learn anything from that? We were going through some issues a while back, and I realized, you know what? Having these problems, it just grows your mercy for other people. It grows your grace. That's where your growth comes from. Is from not having your problem solved, but following the guy, right? Leaving the way and following the Lord. That's where your growth comes from. Sure, Christ can solve all of our problems, but that's not the answer. Then that's just what we expect, right? You know, Jesus can work by the way because he is the way. Amen. Jesus is the way. John 14:6, you don't have to turn there. I'm sure most of you guys have it memorized. But I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus works in the way because he is the way. He's the only way. He's your only way out. He's your only way to a new destination. I think we've all been by the way before. And I think some of us have forgotten what God's done there. I just want to encourage you this morning. Don't forget when you were by the way. Don't forget the blessings that happened there. And if you find yourself back there, don't believe the lies of the devil. Don't believe that what you've done is too much for God. Don't limit your God. God's more powerful than that. He's more powerful than any of the mistakes you could make. More powerful than any of the screw-ups you could do. Cry out to the Lord. Christ will draw near, by the way. He will draw near. Lord, thank you for today. God, thank you for this opportunity. Lord, thank you for your book. God, your words of encouragement, your mercy, your love. Lord, if there's anybody here who doesn't know what it's like when Christ draws near, God, I pray today could be that day. Just because you're sitting in church doesn't mean you're not by the way. Lord, if there's anyone in here who doesn't know you, God, let them cry out. Cry out today and see what you can do for them, Lord. Let them experience the saving power of Jesus Christ this morning. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.